There are specialist funds for blockchain investment, and there are others where blockchain ideas compete for funding with businesses of all different kinds. Access New York is one of the latter, but its head, Kirsty Barony Gibson, knows about blockchain and Bitcoin SV in particular because she's got her own BSV startup, a dating app. So how does being a BSV entrepreneur help her to pick other promising business ideas?
You're listening to CoinGeek Conversations with Charles Miller.
So, Kirsty, perhaps you could start off by just giving an idea of what Access New York is.
Access New York is an investment program by a global investment group called Scale Facilitation. We're headquartered at the World Trade Center in New York, but we have investments around the world. And Access New York is an investment program that is devoted to startups and SMEs in the innovation space.
Right. So you take on quite early stage startups.
Yes.
And they can be in any sector or?
Yes. We have a very much diversified portfolio. We're looking into companies in biotechnology, healthcare, AI, ML, obviously blockchain. So essentially anything that is a high disruptor. Right. Established industries, yes.
Well, we're here at the London Blockchain Conference, yes, which you've just been speaking at. How essential is blockchain and how particularly does the BSV world figure in your thinking?
Well, I come from the BSV world. I was a BSV founder before I started working for the fund.
All right, let's go into that because it's kind of a fun thing. Because yes, you, at the last conference in Dubai, you were there with your app. It's called
ClearSparrow.
ClearSparrow. So
yes,
just for those who haven't heard it, what does ClearSparrow do?
ClearSparrow is a dating safety app that essentially allows two people to exchange background data without revealing their identity. So the only way of doing that is blockchain. And the only blockchain that is able to handle the speed and the volume is BSV.
And what kind of background data are we talking about then?
If somebody has a criminal record, a lawsuit, human trafficking. So I do the verification of the person against the government records. So I do verify that you are you and I am myself. So if we're going to be on a date, I don't feel comfortable yet to tell you my name is Kirsty Barany, but I've seen your picture. We have good conversations. Okay. I want to make sure that you are a safe person to go out with. Because as a woman, you're always a little bit, you know, right, vulnerable in that sense. So I created this tool so two people can do that and actually enjoy their first date. Because now I'm at peace because I know that you are not a human trafficker.
And or how does, why does that require Bitcoin SV?
It provides the transparency necessary to reduce the liability. If I were to do this in other times and I provide information that was not clear and somebody gets hurt, then I cannot have a clear, transparent
Right. So it's kind of protection for you, the business owner, to say,
exactly,
well, this is exactly, you can see that I did have this information.
Yes.
So don't blame me if you didn't take any notice.
Correct. So everything, and I can also link up to the official sources. So yeah. I go back to court records or medical records. Mm. So in essence, beyond dating, this platform, what it is a safe way to exchange critical data, verifiable data between two anonymous parties while being verified.
Amazing.
So this has many other applications than dating. So
before we get back to today again, how's ClearSparrow going?
It's going great. Actually, it's fully designed and ready to go. Obviously, I got a little bit distracted with the invitation by Scale Facilitation to join their team because now on top of ClearSparrow, now I have the opportunity to grow many more companies in the space.
So with ClearSparrow, you've got all the mechanism working,
oh,
but
yes,
then you've got to get the people who are looking for the dates.
Oh, of course. Well, it's actually quite simple. I do have a strategy and I'm going to give it to you, but I don't know if I want to put it out there.
In general terms.
Yeah. So essentially what we're going to do is we're going to provide this service to all women for free. So if you are a gentleman and you want to have a date, as a woman, I require that you exchange your data with me. Why
right,
wouldn't you? Especially if it just costs you a couple of bucks a month.
Right.
So either I'm not worth $2 or you have something to hide. So it's a way of bringing transparency. We also have some partners that want to come on board because obviously they want to enhance the safety of the services that they provide already. So this is just another.
Right, so you can add it on to somebody else's existing business.
Yeah, B2B2C, I think, is the most efficient way to get to your consumers with a new product, at least.
So just going back to your own story, you've been an entrepreneur in different ways.
Yes.
And then now you've taken on this role with Access New York, which is sort of like head of entrepreneurs.
Yes.
of picking other people who are going to get onto the program.
Correct.
And how important is blockchain to you in the choices that you're able to make there?
It's really important, especially for digital products. So one of the things, I see BSV and blockchain as a way of future-proofing the companies that we invest in. Because if we don't look at it from that lens, what's going to happen is down the road, somebody else is going to do it. So right now, people see blockchain, oh, that's a nice to have. The way I see it as an investor is like, no, you need it. Otherwise, you are going to be in a massive disadvantage. Because what blockchain and transparency brings is either you're reducing your liability, like in the case of Clear Sparrow, you're reducing your cost because you're enhancing effectiveness, efficiencies within your process, or you're increasing your revenues, either by acquiring more clients or actually being able to prove that your product is superior. So when you go like, why you beef? Now you can trace the DNA of the cow and where it was raised and all the way to the plate. So there's new business models that are emerging that are going to be a standard. So whoever comes in early, they're the ones that are going to be most successful.
So is it your view that if you think, oh, well, I'll just grow my business and then we can add all this stuff on later, that is not really viable?
Actually, it's viable. It's just expensive. And in the process, you might be losing a lot of data points that would have been more accurate. So there's a big difference between just transferring records on a ledger that you had offline into the blockchain, right? Versus having all these sentinel, IPv6 is opening a whole new world, right? And then you have all these sensors around the world and data points. So if you're able to capture real life data, immutable real life data, you are sitting on a gold mine. That is where the value is. So if you talk to me and say, well, we can do it today, make a small investment and build on it versus, well, we'll see in 5 years, then you're losing 5 years of this amazing value that you could have been tracking since the beginning. And the sad part of not doing it is that there's a group of amazing developers within the BSV community that have been devoting years at building the building blocks. So they are there. You only have to literally bring them into your business and open a whole new dimension to it. So it's very straightforward, actually.
I mean, it's really good to hear you say that you think the actual building blocks are now technically available.
Yes.
In terms of the business models, then, what kind of business models do you think this is going to work best for?
Everything. I was used, there was a PwC report that just came out that says that trust economies based on blockchain, they're going to unlock $1.7 trillion in GDP globally. So it's a ginormous opportunity. And they also forecast that essentially every single business in the world will be touched by blockchain one way or another in the next 10 years.
Okay, but supposing you're talking to me as somebody who knows nothing about this at all.
Yes.
Give me an example. Can you give me an example of a business idea that I can understand and how blockchain comes into it and makes money?
All right. Wagyu beef, for example, Wagyu, like it's prime beef that is supposed to be raised in Japan and massaged. Hmm. And so now you can trace the DNA. You can have all the schedule of massages and how much water they drink and what their carbon footprint is and all the supply chain and the cold chain all the way into the plate.
I suppose so. But if I was a consumer in a restaurant, I've never said, gosh, I wish I knew where this beef came from and how old it was.
Oh, if you're paying $100 or $200 or $300 for that piece of steak, you want a certification that that is the right kind of steak.
I don't know. I think I would trust the reputation of the restaurant.
Well, in theory, and this is that's the cultural shift. As these tools are becoming more and more available, people want more and more proof that what they're paying for is the right thing. And with the economy getting a little bit more complicated, people will want to certify that they're getting the value that they're paying for. And that's just like a premium.
Yeah.
But also there is so many micropayment applications for marketing purposes and rewarding your consumers or your clients that you can really enhance loyalty by monetizing that interaction. Also, there's applications for giving back the ownership of the data to the users and essentially you becoming an agent for the data. So if you think about healthcare data, that's highly valuable. What's happening now is other people are monetizing your data and you're making no money out of it. So I am a true believer that models will come along where patients are going to be owners of the data and there's going to be platforms that aggregate all this information on their behalf and they're going to sell it to researchers de-identified, obviously, data. And then the patients are going to get their cut, essentially, the piece of the cake that they very well deserve. Right now, what's happening is big tech, they're grabbing everything and consumers are just a product. I think in the future, as micropayments enable these kind of interactions, it's going to be a wave. I think it's going to become, that's going to become more of a trend than what we're living in right now.
I mean, you make it sound very convincing, I must say, but just the other side of that would be, let me just put the other side of the argument. I don't mind seeing an ad if I... as the price that I pay for the service that I get from Google, for instance.
Yes.
And the idea that every time I do a web search or whatever, maybe AI search these days, that I have to pay a tiny bit of money, it somehow slightly goes against the grain, whereas not paying anything is kind of nice.
I actually agree with you. That's going to take longer. And that's going to be a privacy play. So you're going to pay to remain anonymous and you have that barrier. I think the models are backwards. I think there is going to be a shift in the way that business conduct their marketing. So right now, we go to the consumers and try to sell product. The way of the future is we're going to reward our consumers not only for buying our product, but also for spreading the word or interacting with us. I think companies are going to start paying clients. So micropayment is not that micropayments are going to enhance the way consumers spend on companies. I think it's going to be the other way. I think companies are going to start paying consumers for interacting with them.
So it's like if you want my attention,
you're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
and I think it's fair. Right now, Google is getting paid for my attention. If you're getting my attention, I think I should get a cut.
Right.
So it's that. I think that's where micropayments is going to be a very important piece. I think that's the right implementation. It's not,
Right. We can just sit and look at our laptops and earn money.
Exactly. And it's worth it. If you're walking, the time that you walk to work, what routes you take, where did you stop for eating, all that is extremely valuable data to different stakeholders in the world. So why not, if it's de-identified? It's just data points. Why not monetize them?
Right.
It's a huge economy. And that's where the new business models are coming along. And that's why I'm so excited to be in the position I am. Because now I'm not limited to how many companies I can go after. Now I can identify these amazing companies that are going to be the new business models and help them get there faster. And obviously with my knowledge of BSV, I can give them the tools because I already know who the players are, what the integration kinks, may come and guide them through the process and have certain certainty of what that path looks like because I walked it already.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, do you have a technical background or how did you know enough about the system to get your dating app?
Yeah, well, my family has always been in technology. So I grew up in it. My father was one of the largest IT distributors in South America, south of the border, extremely successful on his own. I think I was the first cybersecurity firm as well, south of the United States. I represented the largest brands. I protected oil industry, central banks. So I was never the builder, but I always understood exactly how it worked. So I could implement it in a very successful way. So I started in cybersecurity and it went from there. So yeah, digital products for me, it's just a natural thing. I have, it's innate, yeah, in a way.
I mean, do you think that you're in this interesting space between sort of businesses that don't know about Bitcoin, and you know enough yourself to completely understand what goes on. This kind of interface, this is where we need more people
Absolutely.
To grow this sector, I think, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the more use cases that we find that really unlock value, it's where everybody's going to take notice and say, why aren't we doing this? We should look at that. So, for example, under Access New York, just because when we do our assessment, there's a big piece of how do you de-risk this, right? And compliance loves this stuff. Like, they're saying, okay, how do we prevent a lawsuit? And this is how. And then you go to the finance department and say, okay, well, this is the valuation right now. This is the valuation of Fisher. How can we really get that delta to skyrocket? It's like, okay, right now we're operating in this space. And the reason we cannot operate, let's say, in government is because we don't have these additional assurances of these additional capabilities. How about we put this module in play?
So so de-risking means that there is information that's reliable and trustworthy that could be very useful because you, at one point, you may need it to prove something has happened
or not. That you did your job right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of very profitable business models out there that have never been touched just because there's never been that transparency in place. And a transparency that is instant and scalable.
You've obviously got a lot of potential entrepreneurs that you're looking after there. The big news in tech, as far as the mainstream media at the moment mm-hmm. is concerned, is AI.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, how does that fit into what you're doing?
It complements each other. I think they do run in separate tracks, but if you're using AI, if you're using data to train that AI, that data has to be reliable. So the way I see blockchain coming in is that the data that you're feeding that AI is verified. So you have real live data that you're collecting. So if you think about farming or ranching and climate and water levels and all this kind of information, you can train your AI based on real data. You don't have to rely on some data pot that was given to you by somebody else. And this is verifiable. You can actually, that becomes an asset, the data that is verified and in the chain, because it rained, boom, it's captured. It's in the, it's already on the chain. You didn't make that data up.
So part of the worry about AI, which is where did it get its information from could mm-hmm. be solved in the way that you just described.
Yeah, you can certify that the data that you are feeding your AI is true. And you think about traditional offline industries that are not highly technological. Again, we go back to agriculture and that. There is so much to be done on those spaces. Mm. And there is so much money to be made because because they're offline, they're very difficult to finance. They say, okay, I have these thousands, tons of coffee from Colombia, and you don't know if the sack is there, is not there, the quality is there. Mm. Where did it grow? You have no records of anything.
As I said, we talked about you've been involved with BSV for
quite a while. Yeah,
quite a while. Where do you think finally we've sort of reached? Are we on the brink of a big breakthrough, or is it a steady progress, or how do you see it?
Well, when I was talking in Dubai last year, and I mentioned this, I have been consulting for very large firms for many years. And I remember they called me in and say, what do you think about this? And I think, well, I think this is the future. And I went and say, well, you know, they said, what chain? I said, BSV. I said, why? And it's like, well, very simple, scalable, affordable, fast. It just makes sense. And they say, well, you know, why don't we go with Ethereum? Because it's Ethereum, you know, and they got all nervous and say, if you go with Ethereum, you're going to hit two walls. You're not going to be a scale. You're not going to be able to scale. And it's going to be too expensive. Sure enough, they went for the safe, the famous solution. Guess what? They're calling me again and say, this thing is not scalable. It's not moving fast enough. It's like, okay, I told you that a year ago. So it's taking big enterprise a little bit of doing it and failing in order to realize that there are better ways.
But the message is getting through?
It's getting through. It's definitely getting through because now everybody, PwC, Ernst & Young, all the big ones are saying, oh, you have to be in blockchain. You have to be in blockchain. There's no way around. You have to be in blockchain. And everybody's like jumping because they tried blockchain and it failed. So now they're fine. They're looking for real solutions. Platforms that actually run, platforms that are affordable, that they're in line with their financial models. And now we're doing it in a downturn of the economy. So now you really need to focus on solutions that are financially viable. And the alternatives are not. So the message is going through out of sheer necessity by these companies to find a solution and being prepared for the future. This is going to be an essential part of everything, So it's a matter of, it's good timing. It's excellent timing. And if you are an entrepreneur, you have a great idea. And you can actually think with this lens on, the potential is unlimited right now.
Kirsty, that's incredible. You have completely persuaded me. So thank you so much. It's really, really interesting.
My pleasure. I think it's a fantastic time to be involved in this.
Well, really good luck with your work. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles.
Thanks very much to Kirsty Barony Gibson. Next week, I'll be talking to James Belding about his digital asset platform, Tokenized. So please join James and me next week. And until then, thanks for listening. And from me, Charles Miller, goodbye.